Sports. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It is a bummer Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. A tough, tough loss for the Cleveland Browns, 30-27 to the San Diego Chargers in a game in which Josh McCown completed 78% of his passes, threw for 356 yards and two touchdowns, in a game in which both Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson topped 115 total yards each, in a game in which both Gary Barnage and Travis Benjamin set career highs with six catches. In a game where they came down and scored when they had to, they got a two-point conversion when they had to, it ultimately was not enough against an injury-ravaged San Diego Chargers team that by the end of the game would be without six of its 11 starters on offense. The Browns' defense could not get the job done. Phillip Rivers, Danny Woodhead marched down the field, game-winning field goal. And I don't care that Tremont Williams went offside. I'm just going to come out and say that. Obviously, he missed, and you'd like it that to have been. But at that point, you feel like they're probably going to make it. He's doing everything he can to try to stop the kick. The truth is, the fact that they just walked right down into field goal position,
yes,
after walking right down the field for a touchdown on the previous possession, that's what was more of the issue. Just a very, very disappointing day for the defense, marring what was, I would have to say, the best offensive performance overall that I personally have seen since I have been around this team every Sunday for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow because of everything that went into the trip to go cross country and to lose it the way we did. And, I mean, it's the NFL. How many games are played across the league yesterday that came down to a last possession? And one team makes the plays and another one doesn't. And to talk about the Tremont Williams play, and I guess I wholeheartedly feel this way, but if Tremont Williams, he does get off slightly ahead of the snap, and in some cases he might have affected the, and you know,
sure,
with a body at his feet, the reason why he missed the first one. And so, but you're absolutely right in saying that you'd love to have him have to kick, as a rookie in the National Football League, a 50-plus yard field goal to win a football game and not have a march down at will, being able to take a knee to knock off seconds to be able to set up the ball exactly where you want it to for him to make the field goal. It's just disappointing. And as you said, you talked about everything. You talked about Barnage and Benjamin. You talked about both of our backs. You talked about Josh McCown. You made no mention to our defense, which is what we were supposed to hang our hat on, which is very frustrating. Very frustrating.
I'm frustrated by the fact that we didn't have Joe Hayden with a finger injury. I'm frustrated by the fact that this defense was unable to stop Phillip Rivers, who threw for 358 yards and three touchdowns against us. I'm disappointed in the fact that they were not able to ever get to Phillip Rivers consistently. The guy averaged 26 yards a completion, or 24 yards a completion, when we blitzed him. The guy averaged 14 yards an attempt when we blitzed him. His quarterback rating was 130 when we blitzed him. This was a team without three of its starting offensive linemen. It was a team that was supposed to struggle in pass protection, giving up over three sacks a game before that happened, before they lost all those guys. Phillip Rivers ended up being, we blitzed 13 times, and he completed seven passes for 168 yards and one touchdown, quarterback rating of 130.6. He was under pressure on only 10 of his 40 dropbacks. 10 of 40. Josh McCown, who played brilliantly, was under pressure on 20 of his 45 dropbacks.
So almost, what, 42%, and Phillip Rivers at 25.
Yes, and with the best offensive line in the league against one that had
a makeshift offensive line.
And yet Josh McCown was brilliant in his own right. He had a quarterback rating of 119.1 on the day, 8.7 yards an attempt, 78 completions. It was one of those performances that made you say, oh, it was like he was in Chicago.
Yeah. And the one play that sticks out in my head, and it was a situation defensively where we did bring our rush, and I'll have to go back and watch the film, whether we brought five or we brought six. And the play that Danny Woodhead sneaks out, Phillip Rivers basically just tosses it over the scrum in front of him to give Danny Woodhead the football with no one for about 30 yards. running freely down the field. And what scares me, not so much that no one was around him for 30 yards and his ability to turn a 62-yard run, yep, which was the longest pass of Phillip Rivers' season this year, went to a running back that was actually only traveled in the air for about 4 yards. But what's shocking to me about it, and like I said, I'll go back to watch the tape, whether it was five rushers or six, is that that meant they had five guys or six guys in, potentially minus the back, protecting Phillip Rivers, and that Danny Woodhead, as a running back, felt no threat from any rusher that got close enough to Phillip Rivers that he had to stay in to protect, but snuck out and escaped the rush, and Phillip Rivers easily pops it over his head and goes for a big gain. That's scary, that a running back, 5'7", what, a buck 90, doesn't want to stick his helmet in there to protect his quarterback so he can throw the football down the field. Nope, rush, not getting there. I'm just going to pop out. That's scary.
That is scary. And then the next play, same thing. You showed a cover zero, all-out blitz. Phillip Rivers looked. He said, I've got Ladarius Green on Dante Whitner. Go ahead, run the fade. Boom, touchdown. I thought that there were too many times the Browns went to the blitz. I thought there were too many times that the blitz was not even disguised at all. Phillip Rivers knew what was coming. And you were dealing with a team. We talked about the makeshift offensive line. They lost Malcolm Floyd in the first half. They lost Steve Johnson early in the second half. They were down to two active receivers. Jacoby Jones wasn't even active for this game. They were down to two receivers. Danny Woodhead started playing some slot. Their third string tight end was playing some slot receiver for them because they had Ladarius Green, who's their second string tight end. Don't forget, Antonio Gates wasn't playing in this game. Three starting offensive linemen. This is a team that runs three receivers over 75% of the time, and they were without their number two receiver and their number three receiver.
Right.
And Malcolm Floyd and Steve Johnson. They were without Antonio Gates. I mean, you could have been going against a team where Phillip Rivers was throwing to Keenan Allen, Steve Johnson, Malcolm Floyd, and Antonio Gates, and instead you're going against a team that was throwing the ball to Keenan Allen, Dontrell Inman, Phillips, I don't even know Phillips' first name, as a tight end, and Ladarius Green.
Yeah.
And you could not stop him. Could not stop him at all. And I think that was the most disappointing. You hit the nail on the head. This was a team that was supposed to be not a good defense, an elite defense, an elite passing defense. Over the last three games, to a rookie quarterback, Marcus Mariota, to a second-year quarterback in Derek Carr, and now to Phillip Rivers without three, let's see, that's three out of five, without 60% or three out of four, without 75% of his top pass catchers.
For half a football.
Yeah. Well, and Gates for the entire time.
Gates for the entire time.
They gave up 358 yards, three touchdowns. They've given up for the last three, 930 yards and seven touchdowns to those three guys passing the football.
And to give credit where credit's due, there were times where the coverage was very good. It was just pitch and catch by an elite quarterback.
Made some brilliant throws.
It was pitch and catch to reliable wide receivers, and the coverage was close, and in some of those situations, you expect it to be a catch tackle. But what was scary to me, and why sometimes it's schematics in regards to what defense we're calling, and then the blame also needs to be on the players themselves in executing that scheme, there were too many times when guys were running in wide open field. I mean, the Danny Woodhead play, the Inman play, where it's just like, they're just running away from us. And I guess that's what happens when everyone's back is turned and you're playing zero coverage.
Steve Johnson, we'll do the math real quick. Steve Johnson, 12 yards after the catch. Keenan Allen, 22 yards after the catch. That's 34. Ladarius Green, 19 yards after the catch. That's 53. Danny Woodhead, 91 yards after the catch. So that's 144. Dontrell Inman, 65 yards after the catch. That's 209. Melvin Gordon, 15. That's 224. And John Phillips, it is, had zero yak. And then Malcolm Floyd, 7. So what did I say? 224, so 231.
231.
231 yards after the catch.
So 60%.
That's a lot. 231 yards after the catch. That is a ton.
And two things. Two things are to, and again, blame is the wrong word, okay? We're not trying to blame anybody. Two things had to happen for you to have that much yak yards. A, missed tackle, okay? B is you're out of position defensively. You're not where you're supposed to be. Because if you're playing sound defense in the run game, you have a guy in every gap that they can run through. There's nowhere to run. That the reason why guys get yards, you make a move, you miss a tackle, or someone's not where they're supposed to be. It's the same way in coverage.
What's really scary to your point is, so the Browns, 5 missed tackles in this game. That's
down from 14.
That's acceptable. Yes. Mike Penn said one handful.
I would say, and just so you know, as I've mentioned before, five or less was a goal everywhere that I've been as a defense. 5 or less. You're going to miss tackles. There's great offensive players in the National Football League. You're going to miss tackles. So, but can you limit those to 5 or less or 4 or less?
So it was 5, and all of them came on the defensive line or at the linebacking position. So it was Starks had one, Kruger had one, Kirksey one, Dansby two.
Yeah, on Woodhead, where
so,
he whiffed.
So that, but it wasn't in the secondary, and yet there were still these monster plays because of the space that you're talking about.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I don't understand.
I do.
I don't understand why Justin Gilbert isn't playing. Johnson Batamosi is out there. He made a position switch from safety to corner. I thought he did everything that he could. He was out there, but sometimes they took advantage of him being on the field. Let's see what you got in Justin Gilbert. You drafted him in the first round, 8th overall, to play corner. Let him play.
Yeah.
Let him play. Are you going to tell me that the pass defense would have been worse this week with Justin Gilbert?
Can't be.
I don't think you're going to tell me that.
No.
I don't think it could have been.
And I think, as we talked briefly before we came on air about this topic, I believe that this was a snowball effect of having no K'Wan Williams, which we knew all week long, but the individuals were prepared to play in his place. Tremont moving inside, you got Hayden and Desir outside, and Gilbert or Batamosi as their backups. Then you throw the monkey wrench in this entire group, which is losing Joe Hayden, and you're forced to dig into your depth. And what hurts this team even more, as I said, you knew there was a high likelihood we were going to play this football game without K'Wan Williams, and you did it last week, and you carried over, you fixed some of those problems and inadequacies of the back end, and you fixed them with Hayden Williams, Desir, and what they were going to do to handle the San Diego Chargers. But then you take Hayden off of it, out of the mix at the last minute, and you're forcing guys, as we talked about, how great did Johnny Manziel look with a week worth of work when Josh McCown was ruled out? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, he knew the reads, he knew the checks, he knew where to go with the football, he managed the football game when we won. The same thing, yeah, quarterback handles the football, and they, you know, everything goes as the quarterback goes, but I think in some cases when you're playing a pass-heavy offense like the Chargers and a vet quarterback in Phillip Rivers who knows what he wants to do with the football, he found our weakness in the player. And again, to shine a light, but Johnson Batamosi, as you said, safety, now corner, not the guy that you want covering anybody in a live football game. Covered a lot of people in that football game. Then you go to second-year player Desir, who played well at times, you know, got beat a couple times. Guys, and then you just find the weaknesses of a defense every single down and use that against us because we had no plan or couldn't create a plan in a matter of hours without Joe Hayden.
Yeah, and it's tough to me. And that one, I think, is hard to swallow. Joe Hayden, I know, has played through injury before, so it must have been something incredibly significant. But, you know, broken finger, you want to have him out there, and you want to see what he can do, and hopefully you find a way to get around that. He obviously felt that he couldn't go from all the reports there, but I thought that was tough. And as you said, it was tough because of the fact that, you know, the other guys weren't getting those reps. He was probable on the injury report. He was expected to be, you know, he was expected to go. Bottom line is he was expected to play. All right, we've got a lot to get into. Jim Donovan is going to be with us, but those are our initial thoughts. I want you to know, nobody in this building thinks what happened yesterday was acceptable. But I do want to spend some time talking about how good of a job John DeFilippo and Josh McCown did offensively.
Yes.
In this game. This was as good, again, I'll say it, and if you want one thing to take away from it, it was as good of an offensive performance as I've seen from a Browns team. On nearly 80% completions, the one turnover didn't amount to anything at the beginning of the game. The fumble for McCown didn't hurt you at all. He was under pressure, made great decisions. The backs look good. The receivers look good. Big play. Gare continues to make big plays. And one thing that really stuck out to me, and we'll talk about it when I come back, but there's one thing I want to hit on with John DeFilippo that he is doing so well that is, I find, to be incredibly impressive. We'll talk about that when we return. 216-578-0850. I'm sure you guys have a lot to say on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.